It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, and on the show today, ideas for curious thinkers of all ages. And our guide on this hour is my predecessor, Guy Raz.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, so Guy, we just heard Suzanne Simard tell us about how trees cooperate with one another. And it really gets you thinking about how all kinds of other beings may be communicating. Which brings us to the next topic that you brought us, dolphins.
Oh, man, yeah.
Can't go wrong with dolphins.
Can't go wrong with dolphins. I learned about, and dolphins, like, communicate through clicks, right?
Yeah.
And I learned about this from the person we're about to hear, Denise Herzing. She has spent her entire life studying a very specific pod of dolphins in the Bahamas. And I remember, Manoush, I remember seeing this TED Talk in person in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I was totally blown away at the idea that one day we might be able to talk, to communicate with, not just with dolphins, but with animals, like like Dr. Doolittle, right? Were you fascinated by that story as a kid?
Yes,
remember that?
Totally.
And we are closer to that possibility today than ever before.
I've seen lots of pictures of you underwater holding a camera. When you're down there, does it feel like it's almost like a, I don't know, like a, just a better place to be? Do you ever get that feeling?
Well, you know, it's an immersion into a three-dimensional world. You know, the tides and the currents and the salt and the waves. And I mean, that all feeds into your understanding of what their world is like. But usually when I'm down there, I'm like, trying to follow behavior and making sure my camera's on. So
right.
It's actually mostly work, really.
Right.
Denise Herzing has been doing that work every summer with the same group of dolphins in the Bahamas.
Let's see. I just calculated it recently.
For 35 years.
Yeah, like 3,000 encounters in the water with the dolphins, and then each of those encounters is about 20 minutes long, so...
Over 1,000 hours of footage and observational data.
So yeah, it's a lot of data, certainly for dolphins.
And the point of all that data, of all that work, is to help Denise answer one question.
Do they have a language? And if so, what are they talking about?
Here's Denise Herzing on the TED stage.
Now, I'm interested in dolphins because of their large brains. And we know they use some of that brain power for just living complicated lives. But what do we really know about dolphin intelligence? We know that their brain-to-body ratio, which is a physical measure of intelligence, is second only to humans. Cognitively, they can understand artificially created languages. And they pass self-awareness tests in mirrors. And in some parts of the world, they use tools, like sponges, to hunt fish. Now, dolphins are natural acousticians. They make sounds 10 times as high and hear sounds 10 times as high as we do. But they have other communication signals they use. They have good vision, so they use body postures to communicate. They have taste, not smell. And they have touch. And sound can actually be felt in the water because the acoustic impedance of tissue and water is about the same. So dolphins can buzz and tickle each other at a distance. So decades ago, not years ago, I set out to find a place in the world where I could observe dolphins underwater and to try to crack the code of their communication system.
Well, first of all, how do dolphins communicate to each other?
Well, you know, we can actually hear a fair amount. Their whistles are fairly audible to us. They have clicks. They have burst pulses, which are also packets of clicks. So they have all these different cues, and they, you know, use body postures in combination with sounds that will basically communicate certain things to each other.
You know, this is total anthropomorphization, but like when you think of a, like when you see a dolphin animated or drawn in a kid's book, they seem to be smiling, but we should not interpolate that that means that they're happy all the time, right?
Oh, definitely not. Yeah, that is just a physical thing that they have going, yeah.
How do you respond when other researchers say, you know, push back and say, hey, like, let's not do that. Let's not anthropomorphize these creatures.
You know, you just keep doing your work, I think. I don't even think it's a discussion anymore, honestly. Most of us that work with social mammals, I think, have kind of moved beyond that and just say, well, it's a valuable tool for thinking about how they might think, and let's do the work.
Is it even weird to talk about dolphin language, or is it should we be talking about dolphin communication?
Yeah, we don't really usually talk about language because we don't know if they have it yet. But thinking out of the box is, you know, it's like intelligence. You know, are there different kinds and types of intelligence? Are there different kinds and types of language? I mean, we know there's tons of kinds of language with humans, right? But
yeah.
One of the big things about language is that you can communicate about different time and space, right? Are they talking about the food they're chasing? Are they eating, or are they talking about, hey, well, let's go to the reef in a couple of days and meet up with this other group? You know, we don't know. And that's where, you know, anthropomorphism can be a tool for thinking about how animals might be thinking.
Which brings us back to the Bahamas and a pivotal moment in Denise Herzing's years of work with Atlantic spotted dolphins there. It happened one summer.
I guess in the mid-90s.
The dolphins did something they had never done with Denise before.
We just started noticing the dolphins would just start doing things. And this is completely wild, right? But we knew the individuals, and they would start doing things like mimicking our body posture, in some cases mimicking like the rhythm of our sounds in the water if we were doing anything vocally. And we just kind of thought, man, wouldn't it be cool to see if we empowered them to communicate back to us?
And the key to unlocking that communication turned out to be play. Dolphins, just like humans, love to play games. Mostly with toys, a piece of rope, a bit of seaweed, anything they can pull around in the water.
Correct.
So what kind of games do they like to play?
Well, it's mostly called keep away. That is, if they get the toy, then the idea is they like to be chased. They like to let you get almost close enough to grab the toy, but then they speed off and that's the game. That's not what they play with each other, actually.
The only question was how to use that play to crack the code that would unlock the meaning behind the dolphins' noises.
Now, one way to crack the code is to interpret these signals and figure out what they mean, but it's a difficult job and we actually don't have a Rosetta Stone yet. But a second way to crack the code is to develop some technology, an interface to do two-way communication. And that's what we've been trying to do in the Bahamas and in real time. So we built a portable keyboard that we could push through the water. And we labeled four objects they like to play with, the scarf, rope, sargassum, and also had a bow ride, which is a fun activity for a dolphin. And that's the scarf whistle. And these are artificially created whistles. They're outside the dolphin's normal repertoire. But they're easily mimicked by the dolphins. And I spent 4 years with my colleagues, Adam Pack and Fabian Delfour, working out in the field with this keyboard, using it with each other to do requests for toys while the dolphins were watching. And the dolphins could get in on the game. They could point at the visual object, or they could mimic the whistle.
Another way to imagine this experiment, Denise says, is think of how you try to teach words to a baby.
And you're trying to get them to understand the word milk. So you have a glass of milk and you're going, here's some milk, or do you want the milk, or would you like some milk? So we're not really teaching them commands, we're exposing them to the communication system with the hopes that they'll learn to use it to communicate back to us what they want.
Okay, so an underwater keyboard, four buttons, each with a different whistle sound, for a different toy.
So the dolphins were actually doing really cool things, like we would play the computer whistle, say like, for sargassum, which is a piece of seaweed they play with. And the dolphins would immediately tag on another whistle to the end of the computer whistle.
So, yeah, the answer to the question, do dolphins have a language, is maybe, kind of. They certainly have a desire to communicate. So now, Denise and her fellow researchers are teaming up with a group of computer scientists to use machine learning to try to parse and analyze those extra whistles and figure out what they might mean.
So that's actually what we're going to be doing late this summer.
Well, like when an anthropologist stumbles on a discovery and some ancient tablet, right? They can spend a lifetime trying to decipher it and then figure out what those symbols meant. But that's a physical thing that you can look at, right? I mean, right. You can imagine that this is a version of that, but with increasing computing power, you could potentially imagine a scenario where the hieroglyphics, so to speak, in dolphin communication could be decoded.
Yeah, well, that's what we're working on. I mean, remember, you know, hieroglyphs is a written language.
Sure.
And that's something that dolphins will never have. At least I can't imagine it. But, you know, maybe they have an oral history that they produce like humans did, right, before we even had writing. But yeah, I have no doubt that machine learning is really going to help us parse out the information.
So if you or I went to Europe 20 years ago, we would have a little phrase book, and that might be all we had. And now you can just speak into Google Translate, and then it will pop, and then you can play it, and it will play it for somebody. You can imagine in 20 or 30 years from now, traveling to Asia and speaking in real time and having like a headset around your head that was a simultaneous translator, an AI translator that would enable you to have a really serious and deep conversation with somebody in their language.
Yeah, sure. I mean, and that's probably coming in shorter than 20 years, I would bet.
Yeah, right.
And you know, what's really interesting is if you look at how other animals communicate with each other, and they do, right? We're way behind the times because we don't have to communicate with animals, right? But there are a lot of birds that already know the alarm calls of their neighboring species because it helps them survive. So nature already communicates in many ways just without us in the loop. So we probably should get in the loop.
That's so beautiful. And there's no dolphins where I'm spending the summer, Guy, but there are a lot of birds. And we've been trying, my kids and I have been trying to imitate their calls and see if they'll respond to us. We don't know what we're saying in these bird languages. Hopefully we're being polite back to the birds. But I do love this idea of interspecies communication. It is just,
I know, right?
Awesome, yes.
I mean, how amazing would that be? Right. To be able to really communicate with animals. And I mean, it might, as she says in the segment, like it might be on a different level. It's not going to be, we're not going to be talking about Kierkegaard. But, you know, you think about what Denise is working on, and then you think about like computing power and how much better computers are going to be able to process information and already are. And it seems like it could be a real possibility.
I mean, not just the communication of, you know, needs, but also the playfulness that is part of the dolphin's world. And
totally.
That their favorite game is keep away. Dare I ask what your species, you and your children, do you have a favorite game these days?
In the middle of quarantine, we've gotten really into Sleeping Queens. That's our jam right now. It's a card game.
Oh.
Totally. It's awesome.
It's good?
I've got a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old. We all play together. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, nice.